We're just going to take our seats for a few minutes as we eventually enter into 2025. Oh man, I'm sure the choir is going to have my hype when we finish. It's like, what do you mean you leave the 99 and you know, you can always find one person around you? We don't do that. Well, for those that this is your first time, welcome to CFT Bristol. We're a church based out of London. This is the Bristol branch. Now, I'm just going to speak to us for about 10 or so minutes as we enter into the new year, and then we'll begin to pray into the new year. And as we do that, I'll speak some things over us as well. I'm just going to turn our attention to a portion of scripture in John chapter 4. I don't think I've got the right one. So just give me a minute. My thing is doing. Okay. So the question that I'm asking this evening that we reflect on, and we'll look at the book of John chapter 4, is, does your life count in the context of God's agenda? Does your life count? That's the question that I'm asking us this evening, and I believe that's a question that God is asking us to reflect on as we enter into 2025. I'll go to the book of John chapter 4 very quickly, and it's the story of a woman that Jesus meets on an ordinary day. She's just going to fetch water at a well. If you don't know what a well is, it's like you dig a hole in the ground, don't worry, you get water from it. And she went there on a normal, you know, probably went there every day to get water. There was no Tesco's or anything then. And this particular day, Jesus went to that well to meet her. And I'll read from John chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, now he had to go through Samaria. It says he had to. So Jesus had he was determined to meet this woman at the well because he wanted to show her something. And it's the same thing I believe that God wants us to bear in mind as we enter into 2025. John chapter 4, I'll read verse 4 from verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Because Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So he starts this conversation with this woman, and the first thing, you know, she wasn't like really polite. She says, can I have a drink of water? And he's like, hang on. Do you go to my church? If you don't go to my church, I'm not going to give you a drink of water. And he was like, a quick, sorry, I can't, you know, I don't even want to talk to you, in short. But Jesus still carries on speaking with her. And verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, the woman now goes on to say, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And how can you say you want to give me water when you have nothing to draw with from the well? The conversation now carries on. And verse 16, he told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had 5 husbands and the man that you are with at the moment is not your husband. What you said is true. So Jesus now says, okay, no problem. Go and call your husband. And she says, sorry, I don't have any husband. And Jesus, obviously, by the all-knowing Jesus with knowledge, now says, yeah, you're right. Actually, the person you're with is not your husband. You've had 5 husbands, not 5 boyfriends, 5 husbands. So she had had 5 really serious relationships and they didn't work out. Now, they now carry on the conversation again, and the woman now says, oh, she turns it into a religious conversation because, like, man, how could this person have known these things about me? This person must be a prophet. So she says to Jesus, I perceive that you're a prophet. Then she switches the conversation to religious talk, you know? And the conversation goes on, and she says, our fathers say we will worship in this mountain, and this is how we do in our church, in the church, that church down the road. They clap. That other church, they don't clap. This church, they pray loud. They dance. That other one is slightly more mellow. But for me, I prefer the church that they don't do all those things. I just like to sit down in church. And she was having these kinds of conversations with Jesus. And Jesus just zeroed down and said, look, I'm paraphrasing. All these things you're saying, go to that mount, it doesn't really matter. What matters is God wants those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. But that's not where I'm going to this evening. Jesus goes through all these conversations with her, highlighting every aspect of her life. He highlights her relationships. He highlights her religious preferences. He highlights that, man, this woman is just like, she doesn't even like her neighbors, actually. He's like, man, I'm not giving you. So he begins to highlight different things about this woman. Not that he wanted to put her out there, but he wanted her to know that, look, I know all these things about you. But that's not the point that Jesus was making here. That's not the point that he's making with us this evening. So the question to this woman is, in her perspective, did her life count? In the context of God's agenda, did her life count? And I can tell you straight away from reading the text that I don't think she thought she could be of any use to God whatsoever. Whatsoever. She probably thought, my goodness, I've had like 5 husbands. Are they going to let me preach in that church? Can God actually have any interest in me at all? Man, I'm even slightly selfish. I don't care about the people who are not from fish ponds. If you're from Wales, worse. We'll lock the bridge. We'll let you cross that bridge. So she had like real, all sorts of attitudes. Do you understand? So God was furthest from her mind. He was like, look, I'm just an ordinary person here with loads of problems. I'm dealing with them. Let me just live my life very simply. I'm just Jesus. I've just come to fetch water here. I've just come to Tesco's or Sainsbury's, depends on which one you like. I'm just going to buy that piece of chocolate eclairs. Go home, big tub of ice cream, watch Neighbors or whatever you watch, Netflix, and repeat the next day. Eventually, my life will run out and I'll say bye-bye to everyone. That was what she was thinking. So she didn't think her life counted at all, I think. Then Jesus carries on the conversation with her. And the Bible now says, after she had spoken with Jesus, she did something interesting in verse 28 of John chapter 4. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. This woman leaves the conversation, rushes into the town that she's from, and begins to tell them, I've met a man, I've met Jesus. And the whole town comes and they meet Jesus. After they meet Jesus, they now go, look, it's great that you've brought us to Jesus here, but we now see what you mean. They found Jesus for themselves. Now, this was the same town that his disciples had tried to go into to tell them about Jesus, and they rejected them. They had done prayer vigils. They knew the scripture, the disciples, to an extent anyway. And they were like, we're going to take this town for Jesus. And they got to the town, 12 men, and they kicked them out, literally. Like, we don't want, what are you talking, this Jesus person you're talking about. And they were so upset. But this is a woman who had no theological training. All she knew was that she had met Jesus. And she went to the same town and brought all the people to Jesus. So, the question to you and I is, or the question to the woman, first of all, is, did she think her life counted? No, I don't think she thought so. There's fireworks. I'm just trying to figure out, man, what is that? Fireworks, people have started fireworking. Anyway, so three things I just want to mention and we'll begin to pray. The question for us is, do we think that our life really counts? Honestly speaking, do you think that Jesus can do anything with your life? Do I think Jesus can do anything with my life? This woman didn't think so. She didn't. But Jesus had something that he wanted to do with her life, and she narrowly almost missed it. But she just did it anyway. So three things, then we will pray this evening. The first thing that Jesus brought to light to this woman was that he highlighted all these areas of her life. And I believe he did that because he wanted her to know that, look, I see you and I understand where you are at. Do you know that when people, I don't know, it's like you're talking, you know, you have like loads and loads of things that are going on in your mind, and you find someone, you talk to one individual, maybe a friend of yours, and you're trying to explain to them what's going on, but they don't get you. It's like, this person doesn't even understand what I'm talking about. Then you go to another person, and the person listens, and they get you. They understand what you're saying. It almost lifts up a burden out of your heart. Even if the problem isn't solved, it's like, at least someone understands what I'm talking about here. Someone gets me. Do you understand? Someone can empathize with me. They're not just thinking, just suck it up or whatever. Someone understands me. So the first thing, Jesus highlights these things to her. And it's like, I see you. If you look at Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, it says, see, Jesus was saying, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. So the first thing is this. Jesus sees you. He understands exactly what's going on with you. Even if your mates, your husband, your wife, your cousins, your friends don't understand you fully, Jesus understands you fully. He sees you. I mean, there are things that are going on in my brain sometimes. I'm like, how can I even explain this to anyone at all? But Jesus sees you and I. Number two, three things that we begin to pray. Jesus didn't condemn this woman. He didn't say, oh, you have no use to me. You are of no use to me. Can you mute all the mics behind me, please? You are of no use to me. You've had five husbands. You're argumentative. Your religious understanding is skewed. You don't even know how to do anything at all. Jesus did not condemn her. He didn't highlight those things in her life to point the finger at her. Do you understand? So we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is not condemning you, you know. He's not. At least we read it in the Bible now. He's not saying you failed. You should have done better. He's not saying, you know, you should have, you know, you should. No. He didn't condemn this woman. He just highlighted this. I see you, but I'm not condemning you. So Jesus isn't condemning you. You're the one that's condemning yourself. I tell you. At least Romans chapter 8 tells us that. Then finally, what is the meaning of all this? God wants us to know the third and final point, and we'll pray. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet. So the third and final point is this. You count. There are things that only you can do in the context of God's kingdom, like this woman. So you count. So the message I want us to leave, I want to leave with us as we cross into 2025 is this. One, Jesus sees you. He understands where you're at. Number two, he's not condemning you. So stop condemning yourself. And number three, you count in his agenda. You count. Before we begin to pray this morning or evening or night or evening, I want you to do me a favor as we rise up and we begin to pray. I want you to look at the person who is sitting or standing next to you. Look them straight in the eye, hard-eyed, and tell them, as you enter 2025, oh my goodness, these guys are not proper American. Look, turn to them on my behalf. Turn to them. Turn to the person who is sitting next to you, please. Look them in the eye and say, as we enter 2025. Pastor Benson said, as we enter 2025. Can you hear me? God says, and you count. You count. You count. You count. Let's rise up on our feet and just begin to thank God as we go into 2025. Let's just begin to thank God and say, Father, we thank you. Thank you because you do not condemn us. Thank you because you see us. Let's just thank God this morning. Father, we thank you. Let's thank God. Let's lift up our voices tonight. Father, we thank you. Let's just thank God. Thank God this morning that God, we thank you that you do not hold all these things against us, that we count in your agenda. Why don't you talk to God this morning? Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you because we count. We count in your agenda. Father, we thank you because you're not condemning us. We thank you because you formed us. You knew us even before we were formed in our mother's wombs. Let's just thank God this morning. Let's thank God this morning. Let's thank God this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. As we enter this 2025, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. For us as CFT Global, God gives us like a theme every single year at the beginning of the year. And the theme for us as a global church is this. Apostle sent this to us. It says, 2025 is the year of the righteous. It is your year. It is the year of the righteous. The righteous is you. Everyone who is born again. Everyone who loves Christ. The Bible says you're righteous. It says this 2025 is our year. And the two main scriptures are Malachi 3:18 and Isaiah 55:11. So let me read Isaiah 55:11, which we'll pray with. I'll read three portions of scripture and we'll pray. So this is God's word to you and I as a church. Isaiah 55:11. It says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. So let's just begin to pray that God, every word, every purpose that you have for my life in 2025, it shall be fulfilled. It shall be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray. Father, every word that you have for us, concerning us, every word, it will not return to you empty. But it will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you have sent it. Declare this morning that every purpose that God has for you will be fulfilled. Every word, every purpose God has for you will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Every purpose, every word will be fulfilled. Everything that the Lord has for you in 2025 will be fulfilled. Every word, every purpose that you have for us will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll read the next scripture from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 12 to 13. Another one of the scriptures for us this year that we'll pray for. I'll read it. It goes, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace." Amen. It says, "The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars and metal will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." Let's just begin to pray that, Father, in 2025, I will go out in joy and lead forth in peace in the name of Jesus. Let's just begin to pray. Father, we'll go out in joy. We will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst forth before us, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thornbush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, myrtle will grow. Father, we will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign. Father, I speak that we will go forth in joy. We will be led forth in peace in the name of Jesus. The mountains and the hills will burst forth in song before us in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. I declare this over your people in the name of Jesus. That we will go forth in joy. Father, we declare this in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. The last scripture that we'll pray as we have entered 2025 is from Joel chapter 2, 23 to 27. It says, "Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful." It says, "He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil." It says, "I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I send among you. You will have plenty to eat and you will be full. You will praise the name of the Lord your God and he will work wonders among you. You shall never be ashamed." And it says, "You will know that I am in Israel and I am the Lord your God, that there is no other. Never again will my people be put to shame." Let's just begin to pray. Father, I declare over your people that we shall rejoice in you. Father, we receive the autumn rain that you, because you are faithful. Father, we receive the abundant showers, both the autumn and the spring rains as before. Father, our threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Lord, we thank you because you will repay every single year, repay us for every year of all the years that the locusts have eaten. The great locust, the young locust, other locust and the swarm locust. Father, we declare, never again will we be put to shame. Because you are God. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll just pray for us. Then I'll ask the choir to come as well on the stage. My Father, my King. Your word says that you said when we speak as your oracle, that our words will not fall to the ground as your servants. Lord, you're the one that has appointed me as pastor over this people. I begin to speak concerning them in the name of Jesus. That as you go into this 2025, in addition to the things that we have prayed, every crooked part before you be made straight in the name of Jesus. Bible says it's not by power, by might, Zechariah 4, verse 6, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I speak strength into your bodies in the name of Jesus. Every strength that you require to fulfill purpose, receive in the name of Jesus. Your word says, O God, in Isaiah chapter 53, that the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we have been healed. Matthew chapter 8, 17, it says that we're healed by our stripes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, I speak healing to every single one of us in the name of Jesus. Let your bodies be healed, your minds healed in the name of Jesus, your mind strengthened. Father, I send this word to every single member of this church and everyone that is not even here, that let it meet them wherever they are in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak strength. I speak strength. I speak strength in the name of Jesus. Every plan of the devil concerning you, destroyed in the name of Jesus. Every weapon of the devil, every weapon that he has formed against you for 2025, as it says in Isaiah chapter 54, 17, it will not prosper in the name of Jesus. I destroy by the fire of God every agenda concerning you that is not according to the will of God. Receive strength. Receive favor, as the Bible says in Psalm 5, verse 12, that God's favor surrounds you. God's favor speaks for you. Men will favor you. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, that the heart of the kings is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he will turn it. Every decision that needs to be made concerning you by a man, by an organization, you receive favor in the name of Jesus. It favors you because God touches their heart for them to favor you in the name of Jesus. Every plan, every purpose that you have that is according to the will of God, let it be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we honor you this morning. Thank you because we count. Thank you because our lives will count in the scheme of things in your agenda for 2025. Father, we thank you. We honor you.